Eventually, that gets a...
Welcome back to the Banty Podcast, formerly known as One Over. It is Friday, September 8th, and this episode is brought to you by the Banty Pro Shop Back to School Sale. If you visit the Banty Pro Shop right now, you can use discount code BACKTOSCHOOL15 to get 15% off your entire order and free shipping in the United States nationwide. Something a little more exciting, we just also launched the Banty Golf Club, which Andrew will dive into a little bit here.
Yeah, BGC. So I think really we're kind of playing a little bit of a slow role on getting feedback from our members here. But the idea is to bring you both benefits from within the Banty community and kind of the broader golf industry at large. So right now it's $89, kind of the early bird special if you sign up through the end of 2023. And right now that'll get you access to a bunch of different discounts and perks from brands like even a couple experiences down at Pinehurst with the Southern Pines Cottage. So a whole variety of different ways to benefit from being a member. And then I think over time, you'll get special access to things like Banty events, special Banty tournaments, anything else that we feel like our members would benefit from. So that's the initial rollout. But anything you would add to that, Billy?
I think to the people out there who are interested in joining, there is a very great offering at hand, and it's only going to improve and get better. And we want our members to be a part of that process with us, give us the feedback on what type of perks and benefits they want to see. So really exciting. We're excited about it because it's a way for us to also connect with our core community and people who are really interested in joining the overall brand of Banty.
So on today's show, we have two guys with balls. That's LaShawn and Justin, based out of Milwaukee. They run twoguyswithballs.com. It's a used golf ball site. Actually, pretty interesting what they're doing. You know, we met them earlier this year at the PGA show in Orlando, Florida. And they've been just super supportive of Banty since the get-go. So I think it was cool to have them on. But they started, I think, back in 2015, 2016. It was LaShawn, I think, first who had the idea and basically started selling golf balls out of his basement. And then his neighbor, funny enough, is Justin, who was looking over and saw like just a ton of pallets of like truck shipments of golf balls being dropped off. And then basically asked Justin, like, hey, what's going on here? And they ended up sort of partnering and have been building two guys ever since. So it's cool. I think I learned a lot about the golf resale industry. I didn't know there was so much to it, but they have a really cool system creating golf balls, figuring out how to, like, the logistics of bringing in the supply and then getting them out to the people who order on their website. So cool interview. I definitely recommend checking them out, twoguyswithballs.com. You can actually use the promo code Banty, and I think you'll get 10% off your next order. So without further ado, let's hand it over to LaShawn and Justin from Two Guys.
Look at this one.
This could be close. This could be really close.
All right. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Banty Podcast. We have with us two guys with balls. We're pretty excited to have them on. We met LaShawn and Justin earlier this year back at the PGA show in Orlando, Florida. We'll talk a little bit about that. But before we sort of skip the intro, I guess, LaShawn, do you want to jump in, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll kind of dig into two guys?
Oh, sure. Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. So I'm LaShawn. I live in the Milwaukee area. Been in Milwaukee, a bit north of Milwaukee, for around 10 years. My background is mainly in software and technology and IT systems and stuff like that. Got started playing golf around 5 or 6 years ago, trying to get better at it. But yeah, that's kind of my quick intro. Anything else you want me to touch on real quick?
No, that's perfect. We'll keep it going. Justin, how about you?
Yeah. Hey, good afternoon to both of you. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us. So similar story to what LaShawn said. Live in the Milwaukee area. Focused most of my career on sales and marketing within military and defense and aerospace products. Became very passionate about golf when I was in second grade. My parents recognized that and started with my first set of clubs and then just kept morphing into playing and getting better. And I'd like to think I would be at the top of my game considering I've been playing for so long and I'm nowhere near it.
That's okay.
I think we all wish that.
I remind him about that.
All. Right. And, and you know, partnering and working with LaShawn has allowed me to mix kind of my passion and my career focus into one. So it's been great so far.
Yeah, I love that. So you two are the founders of Two Guys. Had you guys known each other before that, or did you meet up around golf? Can you bring us back to kind of what happened a few years ago when you guys were like, wait, we have something here that we want to build?
Oh, sure. Yeah. No. So I met Justin. He moved in to my house next door. So we've been neighbors for seven years.
Yeah. Since end of 2016, I moved in. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
tight knit. Great.
Each other. We connected right away. I think we were in similar, I guess, phases of our lives, kids, dogs,
shared our passion for beers and good whiskeys, and then it morphed into deeper conversations.
Yeah,
the classic Milwaukee story. It sounds like.
Do you guys mow the lawn at the same time so you can just chat? And, catch
we
up.
Actually like have been out on the tractors at the same time. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. That's great. That's awesome. So I do have a question about the name Two Guys with Balls. So when you were starting this, was that like something that came to you and you're like immediately yes, or were you like trying to think of a more like, I don't even know if creative, because this is creative, but like this is obviously the obvious name for your business.
Right. It's very on the nose.
So were you trying to come up with like a more creative name, or were you just like, you know what, we're just going with the obvious answer, Two Guys with Balls?
Yeah. So we were like, when we were brainstorming names, we were thinking, you know, stuff like usedgolfballs.com or golf balls for cheap, you know, stuff like that. And then I don't remember who, but somebody was like, we are just two guys trying to sell balls, right? And then that's kind of how it clicked. Like two guys with balls, let's check if the domain is available, because that's the first thing we wanted to do, right? Totally. And it was available. And then the name kind of stuck. We were a bit hesitant at first to see how it would be perceived. At the time, you couldn't do a Google search for two guys with balls, because what you get is, you know, stuff that's not safe for work.
Not what you think. You get exactly what you think. Yeah.
Yeah, taken over the rankings. But we asked a bunch of people, what do you think of the name? Everybody kind of liked it. We asked if, would you get offended by the name? Nobody did. And I think the type of customers and the type of people we want to connect to are people who, you know, don't take things too seriously, who have a good sense of humor, and who would appreciate what we are trying to do and not be too serious about things. So that's kind of how the name came to be, and it stuck.
Yeah, it's interesting. When we were at the PGA show, when we met the both of you, you know, we had some people that were a little concerned about the name, which, you know, that welcome that feedback, but it's catchy. It's been the name since its conception, and, you know, we don't see that adapting for any reason moving forward.
Right. Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, to your point, like the super generic names like used golf balls, cheapgolfballs.com, like I think that was earlier on in the internet. I think those names maybe did a little bit better, but now it's like, it's almost better to have a little bit of an edge to you. And I think kind of showing off like your sense of humor, your sort of lightheartedness, the same thing we try to do with Banty is like, try to keep it pretty real and authentic. And I think people are smart enough to pick up on that now. So I think they actually appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what year was this actually when you guys sort of launched the website? When was that?
So it was around 2016 that the idea started forming. We launched the website towards the end of 2016, like just after Christmas. And yeah, 2017 was our first full year in business. And, you know, fast forward a couple of years, it was around 2019, you know, just before COVID hit, that things really started to take off. And that's kind of the year where we thought, okay, we might have something here. Before that, it was like, yeah, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But 2019 was that we saw a lot of great sales. We got picked up by several golf blogs and media outlets. And, you know, that's when things started to get moving for us.
And
that's awesome.
Did you have like a unique access to use golf balls, or like, was there a reason that you felt like you could differentiate yourself in terms of like being the best supplier of used golf balls, or was that just hustle? Like, how did you guys actually go about, and still actually, I'm curious, how do you guys go about sourcing your inventory?
Yeah. So we didn't really have any unique access. In fact, it was really hard. It still is hard for us to find good sources of high quality golf balls. What we've been mainly focused on is, like, when we started the business, we looked out there, looked at some of the other players out in the market, and it was buying used golf balls online was a confusing process, right? You go online, you try to decipher all these codes of 4A and 5A. You don't quite know what you're getting. There was no real standard out there. And it was a trial and error process. There were used golf ball outlets, there is eBays and Amazons of the world. So as a golfer, right, if you play a particular ball like the Pro V1 or the Chrome Soft, what you want to do is you don't want to spend $50 or $55 a dozen every time you buy balls. But at the same time, you want something that's high quality. You want a consistent quality, right? You want to get the same ball every time you order. You don't want to get a good batch this order, and the next time you order, it's not good. The quality isn't there, and then you had to go out and buy a new ball. So we wanted to make it focus on the quality, make sure that we provide good customer service, and everybody kind of says that, but we wanted to, you know, provide a better product and make it really easy for people to go on the website, buy the ball they want, understand what they're getting, and make sure that they consistently get that experience or get what they expect every time they order from us.
You know, and to that, our, you know, our target audience are individuals like us, like the two of you, right? Where we want to provide consistent quality, high quality grade golf balls to someone that enjoys golf, that plays, that understands the value of quality and appreciates the consistency. And I think that's where, you know, what separates us in the market is that consistency, where, you know, we don't have customers coming back to us on a consistent basis, you know, returning shipments, you know, complaining about the quality of golf balls they receive. They get the same quality each and every time, their specific ball, their specific brand. And, you know, our inspection process is completely, you know, highly detailed, completely thorough. And you know, LaShawn and other team members have really gotten down the process, the repetition, the work instructions. So it doesn't matter if someone's on vacation or out of the office for some reason, three other people know how to do it as well. And so, you know, it's kudos to the team as well to ensure the organization as a whole, actually, to ensure that quality remains consistently high.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to dig into the operation in a minute. I guess first, I actually think it would be interesting because you touched on this, and I'm somewhat aware of the like grading scale here, but I bet a lot of people aren't. Like, could you actually give us a bit of a primer on like how used golf balls are evaluated, sort of from like the objective grading scale?
Yeah, sure. So we separate our balls into three quality grades, and that's kind of the industry standard out there. We call it Eagle, Birdie, and Par. We thought it's, everybody knows what an eagle is, what a birdie is, and a par is, right? Eagle is like, you don't get it too often, but when you're, if you ever have gotten an eagle, I haven't.
I have, yes.
I don't know. I haven't seen it, but it's got an eagle. But that feeling you get when you get an eagle, that's what we want people to experience when we get the eagle grade. The birdie grade is our second quality grade, and those are still pretty darn good balls, right? You wouldn't notice too much of a performance difference. And I play the birdie grade because for my game, I'll probably lose the ball before the ball gets bad enough that it, you know, that it goes sideways.
Right.
And then finally, we have the par grade, which is more for beginners. It's the lowest quality level, but it's still fairly playable. So the way we differentiate is the Eagle grade will perform exactly the same as a new ball. In terms of performance, there is no difference. It may have corporate logos, some player markings on it, Sharpies and so on, but it'll perform exactly the same. The second quality grade from a performance standpoint will perform pretty close to a new golf ball. You will only notice a difference, let's say, if you're a handicap of 2 or 3 or 4, right? Any higher right. than that, you'll see no performance difference. It may not last 18 holes, but like I said, most of us will lose the ball before we play for 18 holes, especially if you're, let's say, 10 or 15 or higher handicap. And then the par grade is meant for beginners. You're just starting out. Yeah. You don't want to spend a ton of money on balls. It'll still play pretty well. If you look at the industry, they have like 5A mint, near mint, 4A. That's how they grade the balls. And for me, also, when I first started buying used golf balls, it was pretty confusing, and there was no consistency. You buy 5A from one place, it's completely different from the 5A in another place. So we
right.
once we get a batch of balls, we still hand grade it. Right, we look at the ball, we turn it around, we make sure that there is no big cuts or scuffs on it, and then we grade it accordingly.
Okay, awesome. And wow. does that take into account, because it is like, what I was wondering was, you know, for example, a Pro V1 with a couple scuffs on it might be demoted to like a birdie grade. I'm wondering if like that same amount of scuffs on like a Kirkland ball, would that, like, how do you think about the ball quality separate from like the scuffs or hit a tree or was in water? Like if a Kirkland ball and a Pro V1 have the same amount of scuffs, or lack of a better term, would they be in different buckets from that perspective?
No, great question. I don't think I've gotten that question before. So good question. So
all right.
If two balls have the same amount of scuffs, regardless of whether it's a Titleist or V1 or Kirkland, it'll go into the same grade. Okay. So, for example, the Eagle would be pretty much a new ball with some, let's say, cosmetic blemishes, if any.
But if you order a Titleist, you're not going to get a Kirkland ball.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm a Kirkland man myself, so
no
shots fired.
Yeah. So funny story about the Kirkland. When we first started, I think Kirkland came up with their ball in, was it 2017 or 2018? Before the lawsuit, and they had to change things and all of that. Costco was selling 2 dozen for $24 new. And as a Costco member, you could only get like 4 dozen a year or so, a ridiculously low number. We were selling the used Kirkland ball for $39 a dozen. So it had a cult-like following early on. We couldn't get our hands on it, but the minute we put it on inventory, it goes. So we found it bizarre why somebody would...
Brand loyalty.
Yeah. Why would somebody play? Exactly. But it's one of those things that I've found interesting. Not so much anymore. I have tons of Kirkland. I can't...
Yeah.
Nobody touch it with a 10-foot pole now.
So interesting.
Do you guys... Like, what has been the most popular brand or balls that you guys sell? You know, one would think maybe it's like if you're going to go buy V1s, you might as well buy brand new, but... Yeah, what brands or balls do you guys see the most traction with?
Pro V1s are extremely popular, obviously, but also Chrome Soft is really big for us right now.
Yeah, definitely. Pro V1s by far in general is the most popular golf ball out there. And the same is for used, but Chrome Soft is pretty popular. I play the Chrome Soft. And then all the what we call the tour level balls, right? You get the Chrome Soft, the TP5s, the Bridgestone B series. Those are pretty popular. Scrixon is gaining in popularity. Weiss and Snell, the DTC brands or the direct to consumer brands, they are pretty popular as well. But we don't get as many in stock. But whenever we do get in, they sell pretty fast as well. But yeah, for sure, Pro V1 are the most popular.
Yeah, on your site, do you get involved at all with, I guess what I would call like ball fitting or ball recommendations. I mean, I think for a lot of people, you know, golf is like, they want to be better than they are. So like people will reach for the Pro V1 when they probably shouldn't. Like, do you have any other like thing that you do as a business or just like general thoughts on the way that you think about assigning the right ball to the right player?
Yeah, no, great question. So that's something that's in our to-do list. It's been there for a while to have some kind of ball fitting, I don't know, system or form on the site. People have asked us advice on what ball should I get, and through our support channels and social media, and then we'll ask a bit more about their game, like what's you know, what type of golf or what's your handicap, what problems are you trying to solve with their game before giving them an answer. So we've provided advice to people when they're trying to pick balls, and if somebody is confused about what ball they should play, they can always get in touch with us. We'll help them. We've even sent samples of balls to people saying, okay, just, you know, try out the sleeve of each ball so that you can pick your ball. So we can provide advice to people for fitting balls, and you're absolutely right. The Pro V1, just because everybody on tour plays it, if you're new to the game, chances are playing a lower tier ball might be better for your game until you get to a point where, you know, your skills improve or your handicap improves.
Yeah, totally. It's top of mind also. I mean, there's obviously like the whole rollback conversation at the professional level, but it is funny. I think honestly, like to do a real ball fitting, it's hard to do it without, you know, like the swing speed and probably some of the technology that most of the professionals use. But I think that'll be interesting to watch over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think diving into that would be a great advantage to our business and a nice service to our customers. But we've been finding just over the last few years, primarily most of our customer base, right, they're coming to us because they know what they want, right? They've played it before. Right. They just lose them and need to buy. So, but to your point, Andrew, I think exploring something like that, we've talked a little bit about that. I know we haven't gotten into the weeds around what that could look like behind the scenes. How would we support that? What level of intelligence would we need to support that? How often would it need to be supported? You know, all those critical checklists you've got to go through before, you know, adding on additional services. Totally.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about ball fitting is that there's a lot of variables. It's pretty hard to, or it's going to take a lot to put it into some kind of calculator where you put in everything that you want and then it spits out a recommendation. And even if you look at the manufacturers, it's pretty confusing, right? If you look at like Titleist, the gospel according to Titleist is, don't worry about swing speed and compression. Work your way back to the tee from the green. Right, yeah. That's how they say to fit your ball. Pick the ball that feels best on your short approach shots, you know, 8 yards in. Whereas everybody else, Bridgestone, Callaway, TaylorMade says, if you have a high swing speed, pick a high compression ball. So you have all the major manufacturers saying match swing speed to compression. But Titleist, who has the biggest market share, says all those guys are wrong. You know, don't worry about swing speed. And recently, My Golf Spy did some testing in their ball testing lab, where they found that that most golfers can benefit by playing a higher compression ball than the lower compression ball. So there is a lot of experts out there giving different, conflicting opinions, so it can get really confusing.
Yeah, we'll need the we'll check back and we'll need like the two guys AI, some sort of ChatGPT to help you figure out the ball fit.
Yeah, everyone's always worried about club fitting. I feel like, you know, the next wave is ball fitting.
Yeah,
it's gonna take
over. All right, so the actual operation, like, I'm curious how it's evolved over the past few years. I'm actually also if there was anything very different during COVID, because I'm sure there was, but like in general, I'm curious, you know, how do the balls come in? How do you ship them out to people? What is sort of like the internal ops look like for two guys?
Yeah. So when we first started, you know, we had golf balls all over the basement in our houses. We acquired a commercial space earlier this year in the Milwaukee area. So that gave us the space to get really well organized. Before that, we were like tripping over balls, and it took a long time to sort balls just because we didn't have the space. We had limited space in our own homes. But now that we have a commercial space, we are well organized. We have the storage we need. It's pretty easy for us to do fulfillment. We've got the order fulfillment process down where we can ship orders faster, and also we can process balls when we get them from our suppliers. Usually it comes in a depending on the supplier, it comes in either a pallet of 15,000 to 20,000 balls, or in bags or boxes of like 600 balls each. Sometimes they're graded.
That's a ton.
Yeah, it's a lot of balls.
It was interesting when I first
a lot of bad golfers out there.
Yeah.
When I first moved next door to LaShawn, and I would just these trucks would come in and drop off in his driveway these pallets with 20,000 golf balls. And I was like, what is going on next door?
Yeah, all these bags with something inside.
Yeah, some wrapping. But to LaShawn's point, it was nice to see the gradual transition between basement boxing, as I call it, to now we need an actual space where we've got workflow, got proper personnel, processes down, and again, just to ensure that high consistent quality maintains. Now we've got the space and the capacity to do it.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, it's funny. So growing up, I lived next to a golf course, and we would always just like go into the woods and basically pick up, 20 golf balls and actually sell them back to the golfers. Yep. I feel like this is that just at like an extremely different scale.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We have a few suppliers around the country. One of my main suppliers is based in Wisconsin, but I have a supply in Florida, Texas. They retrieve balls from all over the country, different golf courses, and they have divers, and they also have I don't know what it's called. Let me call it a retrieval device, right? It's like these rollers that fit into a tractor, and they back it into the pond, and they come out, and then there's 10,000 balls each time they do that. So it's changed quite a lot, and you get a lot of you get a few fairly large wholesalers who retrieve millions of balls. I think the stat that I saw was around 400 million golf balls are lost every year, and not all of them. Only a small percentage of that is actually retrieved. And once you take that, even smaller percentage is the top tier balls that we sell online.
Right.
Wow. That's a lot. We might have to do a name change to two guys with a million balls.
Right. Yeah.
I wanted to shift gears for a second, just because I know that what you guys are doing is already I think great for the environment by repurposing golf balls and not just letting them all go to waste, but I know that you guys give back to the community as well through Next 18, and we'd just love to learn more about what your partnership is like with them and how you guys went about connecting with them and what you guys are really doing to give back.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So over the years, even as soon as we started, we've had a lot of golf outings, people doing charity golf outings and fundraisers reached out to us saying, can you support our cause and can you send us some balls? And we've rarely said no to people just because they seem to be doing something good. We'll send them a few balls to drop in the golfer's bag, or as an auction item or raffle item. So we've been doing that over the years. Last year, I think it was 2 years ago, I met the founder of Next 18. He was a retired Marine, and he started this organization in Wisconsin to help veterans and first responders with mental health using golf. So he might be a good guest to have on your pod sometime where he can
100%
tell you his story. But we'll
to get that on the books.
Yeah. So what he talks about is how golf helped him get through some of the stuff that he experienced being in the military, and he wanted to use the sport of golf to help veterans and first responders who see a lot of stuff that you and I don't see on a daily basis, and then that kind of sits with you. So what Next 18 does is they do four-day golf camps where the first half of the day focuses on mental health training and resources like yoga and meditation, mindfulness, and so on. And then the afternoon is golf lessons, and they go out and play a round of golf. So he asked me to join the board soon after the organization was formed, so I can, through my connections in the golf industry and through what we do at Two Guys with Balls, to kind of get more deeply involved with the organization. And so far it's been great for us, and it's been great for them as well, where we donate a dollar off every order to Next 18, and also we help spread the word. I've joined one of their golf camps to play a round of golf, and what Matt, the founder, has been able to do is to get some really good golf courses like Whistling Straits, Kohler, The Bull, like the best courses in the country.
No way.
Yeah.
That's
amazing. Yeah. No, it's been good. So we've been working very closely with Next 18 to help where we can. And they also help us in promoting Two Guys with Balls at camps and also golf outings and several networking events that they do.
We also help support a lot of the local charities within our Ozaukee County communities as well. So, you know, there'll be some charities that are near and dear to not only LaShawn's heart, my heart as well. And whether it's, you know, Wisconsin Kids Burn Camp, you know, supporting firefighters, all of those types of events, you know, we feel and again, near and dear to our hearts, that we know that we want to support our community and the individuals that are impacted by specific situations. And so last week we just played in a golf outing where Two Guys with Balls provided a sleeve of golf balls to every participant in the event. And it just helps create awareness. We're not looking at it specifically for our brand, but really to help promote, raise money for the kids in the communities that need it.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, the access, I think, especially for the junior world of golf, like getting more kids out there, and it's not the easiest sport to get into. So any of those barriers that we can help bring down, I think, is amazing. All right, cool. Well, I think shifting towards like wrapping up, the last things that we wanted to touch on here was a little bit about like Two Guys today. Like, can you tell us, you know, what has you excited right now, both from like the business perspective and then just like the golf world, like anything that you guys are particularly jazzed up about?
I think over the last few years, you know, we hear about this COVID bump that the golf industry got, where a lot of people started taking up the game of golf. So that's personally what I'm most excited about, that we have so many people, especially kids, starting to play golf. Both our kids, we have two boys. He has two boys. I have one boy, really interested in playing golf at a very young age. I think the game of golf will see, you know, a lot more people playing golf moving forward. So that's what I'm excited about. And being there for people to play it in an affordable way, because it can be expensive with clubs and in a small way out of the equation. So people who want to play golf can play golf without worrying too much about the money. That's something we'd like to contribute to.
For me, I think, as you know, as most things, right, in manufacturing and robotics and space exploration, everything's evolving. Right. And golf's no different, right? It's going to continue to evolve. Technology is going to continue to push us. You know, and I mean, it's true, right? With Banty, right? I mean, that system, what you guys do, right? 10, 15 years ago, would anyone have even thought about putting something together like that. And so right. I think, like, you know, from my perspective, it'll be interesting to see how club technology, ball technology, you know, GPS systems have just morphed. I remember when I was a little kid and watching, you know, some of the, my own dad used that, the handheld thing that looked like an old mobile phone in like a big Ziploc case. Now, you know, I carry one that's the size of my watch that's in my pocket, and it tells me so much. And so I think for me, I'm just excited to see that continuous evolution of technology and see where it takes us and how it can make us all, we don't have to be on the tour to take advantage of some of those technology advantages.
Yeah. The technology is fascinating. I mean, I think it's been elevated this year because of the LIV versus PGA and the rollback conversations and the money and all of that. But I think for me, and that sounds like for you guys as well, just as a player, like, it is cool. Like, the clubs are getting better. The balls are getting better. I've had a lot of fun recently out on the course, and I think this technology has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, I agree. I think you hit it spot on. I was just thinking, like, my dad has like this like clip, and like when you press it, it will say like you're 150 yards out from the green, and it's just like beyond crazy that it's just like linked to your phone and everything just kind of is seamlessly working together, and it's only going to make hopefully players become better at golf, which, you know, is what everyone wants. So it's an exciting time.
Yeah, it's all about how you can enjoy the game, right? Regardless of what skill level you are. It's a game that anybody can enjoy. It's a golf. It's being outside. It's, you know, playing around with friends, having a drink out on the course, and just overall having a good time, even if you're not the best at it.
Yeah. So I always say it's like a 4-hour nature walk, hitting a ball every 10 minutes.
Yeah, there you go.
Sometimes you're in the woods, sometimes you're not.
Yeah. Probably 10 minutes for me because I'm always looking for it. But, you know. Well, we have a couple fun questions to end with. Andrew, do you want to dive in with those?
On that note, we're asking everyone who comes on basically to tell us about their dream round. You know, there's one course that you could play and a group that you could go out with, basically your ideal foursome. Like, is there anything on your bucket list that you would love to cross off?
Yeah, for me, my dream round would actually be with one golfer. And it would be like 1992 John Daly. And it would probably be at like St. Andrews, where you can just grip it, rip it, let it fly. I think it'd be fun to play with John back in that time period, to be honest with you. Just to watch him hit and just to you know, go out there and stand in amazement would be ideal.
I think the closest you're going to get to that is maybe playing with his son, because I don't know if you've been following him on the NCAA tour, but he's got the same exact style, and it's actually like uncanny to watch him swing. Very reminiscent of John Daly.
I really like watching them when they play in the father-son, the tournament. That's awesome. Insane. Yeah. It's unbelievable how good he is.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the next best option is just, aside from maybe his son, is just John Daly now.
Yeah.
I still feel like that would be an insane experience.
Yeah. Especially with those pants that he wears. I mean, why not?
The pants, the hair, the vibe. Yep. He is a vibe, and it's a vibe that I could definitely play golf with.
Yep.
Yeah, Sean. For me, you know, I'm sure you get this a lot. I would say probably Tiger Woods at Pebble Beach. You know, Tiger Woods, because my first experience with golf was the Tiger Woods 2K PC game back in the early 2000s, where I played a PC game.
That's a throwback.
Yeah. 10 years later, I picked up a club, but that was my first experience with golf.
Love it. Okay, cool. And then what about Banty? I know we're going to quickly wrap up here with, you know, what we're building, we think is pretty unique in the marketplace right now. It really is an emphasis on having fun out there and growing like the social nature of golf. But what, from your guys' perspective, is cool about Banty, sort of what put us on your radar, and, you know, what asks do you have of us as we're building out the platform?
So when we met you at the PGA show, this year, number one, the thing that I appreciated the most is just the conversations we were able to have together. you know, you got you and your whole team are very approachable. Because you know, when you start out with these passionable, I don't want to say hobbies, but your you know, dream jobs, if you will, there are mistakes that are going to be made, and everyone makes them. And so you want to learn from other people's mistakes. You want to maybe capture some of others' successes. And so it was great to have those conversations with you and the team. So that was number one. And then it was just interesting to learn specifically more about what Banty does and then to actually integrate it and use it. I mean, so there are a lot of guys our age in our neighborhood, right? And we all like to play golf. We give each other so much crap constantly about, even if we're together, we're not, and we're playing golf, right? It still flies. And so I think from my perspective, I enjoy like the banter of it, like the, just the interaction,
the ability
to be able to do that. Yeah. I love that. Like,
yeah.
It, and you know, you guys didn't tell me to say that. I'm saying it because I mean it. It is really, it's something that no other platform offers. And for us, that's like the enjoyable part. I mean, I've been playing golf where I've birdied a hole and he'll call me out on it and he's not even with me and say, you like bogeyed that thing last week. There's no way you birdied it this week.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Right.
You know, to get the opportunity to take a shot at your buddies is like priceless.
Yeah. So just to touch on that, like before Banty, we used to use another app and we are all on that app and it notifies us saying Justin hold out from, I don't know, 100 yards, which how come it never happens when we are around. But then I see that notification and then I have to open up a text message, create a group chat, and then, you know, call him out that way. But with Banty, it's all in one app. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love that.
No, that was a great answer. I think it's spot on to, you know, what we're trying to build here and, you know, give the golf, you know, ecosystem a place to communicate, chirp each other, banter, and just have fun out there.
Yep. It's fantastic.
All right. Well, Andrew, you got any final questions or, you know, we could.
Last thing I have is just where can people find you? I know we have the website here at twoguyswithballs.com, but anything else that people can do to find both, you know, each of you, Two Guys, anything to be on the lookout for, anything else, you know, we should let our listeners know about?
Yeah. So twoguyswithballs.com, that's our website. We only sell to twoguyswithballs.com. You won't find our balls anywhere else. We have a location in Milwaukee. It's mostly shipping and order fulfillment, but if you're in the Milwaukee area, or if you happen to be traveling to the Milwaukee area, you can order online and pick up the balls in store. Not sure if we'll ever do retail. We made the location. It's a great location, so, with a lot of traffic, very easily accessible on the, if you're on the way to Whistling Straits or Kohler or one of the many courses that's there up north, you'll pass by. So that's how you would find us. And when you go on the site, you can you can message us. You can find our information on there. Get in touch with us. We are on Instagram and Facebook and all the social media channels, Twitter or X, and Threads and all of that. Those haven't really taken off. It's okay. another social platform to manage, but Instagram and Facebook, you can always get in touch with us.
Awesome.
Okay, cool. Well, we haven't totally figured out our show notes strategy yet, but we'll put all of those links in the show notes. We'll figure out how to do that.
Yeah. As always, we're figuring out this whole podcasting thing as we go too. We're just like press record and figure it all out later.
Well, I listen to your podcast. You guys have done a great job. It's like you guys have been doing at it for a long time.
I appreciate that.
Well, guys, this was great. We had a lot of fun learning about what you guys are doing over there with Two Guys with Balls. And, you know, it's awesome what you guys have built so far. And we can't wait to keep watching what you guys do. And thanks for coming on.
We feel the same about you both as well. And then hopefully we'll see you in January.
Yeah. We'll connect offline about the next PGA show. I think it was a good time this year. I think we have to figure out our booth strategy for next year, but we'll do.
Yeah. Sounds great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on the show. A pleasure.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Take care. Bye.
Swing it like a boomerang, your tank come around, round, wanna hit the top, top.
Ooh, lolly, lolly.
Chip, puck, you know what's the big whoop? When I play my game, and then I make my mama proud.
Woo. Smash, bang, you gotta hit the ball far, then the crowd goes, woo. Then you hear the,
ooh, lolly, lolly.
Treat, treat. I want my birthdays all day long, let the bogeys go and say, hey.
Ooh, lolly, lolly.